There was a time when I was a single mum myself, when I had my daughter, and Maxilla to me was like a little haven. I used to go there and meet all the mums, and, you know, it was quite scary times that was, but when I was on my own, having my girl, and just meeting other parents there gave me that support work. They'll try and give you advice on how to breastfeed your child, and, you know, being a teen mum, you know, how to get housing and things like that. And then I was housed. So you just get quite a lot of information, you know, to try and help all the single mums in the area. And Maxilla, from what I understood at the time, it was to help all the low-income people in the borough and the single mums in the borough to try and find daycare for their children. Whether you're going to go back to study or whether you're going to go back to work. It was a support network there for young mums and people wanting to go back to work. When I had my son, he went into the baby room, and then he went into the toddlers, and then from the toddlers he went into the school, and he stayed there until he went to primary. When I was using the dropping with my daughter, I was the only Moroccan. The majority of people that used the drop-in were mostly English girls, you know, that went to either school with me or lived in the borough. There was hardly any black girls. There was no Asian girls, no Somalian girls. And then after that, it started to mix a bit more. So we had Somalians, and we had the Eastern Europeans coming in, and we had the Asian people. Well, not many Asians were using drop-ins, even though they were there. Not many parents knew about it. So we did quite a lot of outreach work, where we, word of mouth especially as well, worked really well in that borough. In our borough, it worked really well. So I found that word of mouth had been the parents that lived in the area helped a lot. And that's drawled in lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds, religion, colour, race, whatever. And it was a lot of difference compared to going back years back. I think it's just the way that where people lived at that time. It's how, you know, the area where people lived. It just, I don't think it was anything else. Where now, you're getting the flocks of people coming in and moving into the borough from all different backgrounds. Where that time, the majority of people that lived around the nursery were mostly white English people. I don't think it's anything else than that, really. Because as time went on, those parents have moved on and moved out of the borough, and new parents have come in. As a member of staff when I was working there, I felt that we were able to give parents who moved in into the borough that support network where they will know where to go for any help, where to go for the care of their children, where to sign up for schools, and we were able to give them that information. And also the health and care and support work that we felt that we were given to parents really showed in Maxilla, because we were forever completely chock-a-block with parents coming in, you know. And again, it is word of mouth as well. You know, people in that area would come back and give us good feedback of all the support they had in Maxilla, which was lovely. It was really, really nice. A place where they feel happy, safe, and an environment where their children can feel free to play and be able to talk about things. I've had so many parents, bless them. I had a parent not that long ago, I think, a couple of months ago, just before we were made redundant, that came in that lost a husband, for instance. And it was hard on the mother as well as the child. And bless her, it was like she has never used a drop-in. She lived in the borough, but she lived in the area. She never used a drop-in because when her husband was alive, he looked after her son. So she felt completely isolated, didn't know what to do. When he passed away, bless her, she had to get her mum from abroad to help her out, to family support. And even that wasn't enough for her. So she walked in, somebody told her about Maxilla, and she walked in. And she actually broke down and cried. She goes, "This is the first time I actually spoke about my husband passing away, and I need the help for my son." Because her son, she said, she didn't have that bond with him, because he was more close to his father than he was with her. And she didn't know how to build the bond with him. She didn't know how to play with him. So by her using the drop-in and using the creches, within weeks, you can see the change in both of them. And to this day, when she comes back and she says, you know, without you guys, I don't know where I'll be, that makes your worth job, you know, more than whatever payment they're giving you at the end of the month, really. It's so nice to know that parents appreciate what we do for them. But I would say, again, with Maxilla, the good thing about it, staff did things naturally. It wasn't something that you rehearsed or something you had to do every day. It's in you. It automatically comes out. You meet these parents. You want the parents to feel they're safe. You want them to feel happy. And the funny thing is, once they are in Maxilla, it's like Maxilla had a spirit over it that you come in, you forget where you are. You just feel like you're at home. It's like home from home. And for the past 15 years that I worked there, I didn't feel like I was working. I felt like I was going there just to, you know, be myself and help as many people as I could. If they felt they needed any help and I couldn't be as able, then by all means, I will do so as far as I can go, really. And to me, that was my reward for Maxilla. You know, I just felt there's no place like it, really. There isn't at all. When I got interviewed for my job role in Maxilla, it was to actually run the drop-in for 2 hours. And I was doing it at the time, if I can mention their names, Jill and Pauline, my two lovely ladies. And it was, I just left a job which I was doing 10 hours as a nanny, and I didn't want to work long hours. And Jill bumped into me, she goes, well, why don't you come and apply for a drop-in? So I said, well, how many hours? She goes, this two. So I went off and applied, and I was interviewed by Judy and Pauline and Umran and another parent. And before I got home, once the interview was over, before I got home, Judy phones and she goes, well, you know, you got the job. And I was 2 hours with the Westway Association. And as time went on, Judy wanted me to do extra hours. So she boosted up to 4 hours. And by then, the Kensington, the school itself, wanted to be employing me as well. And I said, I don't really want to do that many hours. 4 hours was more than enough for me. So they halved my hours into two different contracts. So I had the Westway for 2 hours, they paid me. And then the Kensington and Chelsea paid me for the next 2 hours. So, and my job role was to run the drop-ins, do the creches, and sometimes go to school and help out in the classroom. I did a lot of translating for parents. At that time, we did have a lot of Arab speakers coming in into Maxilla. So with my language, I was able to translate for them, and it helped the school a lot. And that's how I ended up having two contracts. Still in touch now and then with Pauline, bless her. Jill, I still see her as well. Umran, I haven't seen for many years, but it was so lovely seeing Judy when she came into Maxilla. It was really lovely. They're the members of staff. I mean, I didn't actually feel we were staff. We were like a family at the time. And when they left, I will say again, you know, when Kristen came along, it was another good bond, good management that worked really well. Maxilla was a very special place. It really is. And what I can't understand is how an outstanding nursery can be shut down. That doesn't go into my head. I really do not understand how the borough or the council, whoever makes these stupid decisions, how can you close something that works so well? That doesn't get into my head. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You know, the services that we provided as a children's centre, you would not get in any other children's centres. I walked into other children's centres and there's no way they did half the things that we did. No way. And, you know, I remember when we were doing the early years and we were Ofsted-ed. The lady who came in, bless her, she came in, this was our first year of doing the early years and we were Ofsted-ed. And she came in and the minute she came, she goes, my gosh, you tend to forget that you're under a motorway. She said it felt warmth. It felt compassion. It felt that the children were happy. She said, I haven't seen one child cry or one child ask for its mum. The kids, I mean, and this was just as we started. And it was supposed to be, like, she was supposed to be there from morning to lunch. She ended up spending the whole day. She even asked, can I spend the whole... We said, by all means, stay. And at the end of it, which was really lovely and heartwarming, she said, if I had my children still young, this is where I would love them to be. Even when I was a single mum and I used to walk in there, there was still something about Maxilla that just clicked. And when I started working in Maxilla, I found that everybody that worked there had a connection somehow about Maxilla, and I think that's what made it click. When you walked, this how it felt, when you walked in, and from what I've heard from parents, when they walked into Maxilla, there was a warmth about it. Whether it's coming from the members of staff, how they welcomed you, or whether it's just something that's in the building, it's just something about it. I don't know how to describe it in words, but it's got a very, very warm feeling about it.